So, you want to save the world with clean energy? Make money doing it? Confused about the economic and technical realities of residential and commercial solar, batteries, heat pumps, EVs? Want the real-world scoop on new energy technologies, not manufacturer hype? Then tune in to the Weekly Energy Show, hosted by Barry Cinnamon. Insights from Barry's 40-plus years in the solar and energy industry will help you understand the future ways we'll generate and consume energy. And now, here's Barry.
Welcome to this week's Energy Show. Now, installing and running a fast charger network, it's a lousy business. Installation of the equipment is really expensive. The operating costs are high, mostly because you got to buy electricity from the utility. And as a result, the profits are negative for most hosting sites. Elon Musk is right about reducing Tesla's investment in their supercharger network. Now, he's getting hammered in the press for laying off 500 Tesla employees in the supercharger business unit. He commented that future deployments of superchargers will slow down. Now, although the U.S. needs a robust fast charging network, building and maintaining that fast charging network, it's almost never profitable. Tesla cannot support the fast charging network alone, even though their NACS, the North American Charging Standard, is now the standard. Now, here's the scary part. And I love EVs, but here's the scary part about fueling vehicles with electricity instead of gas. The price of gas may be expensive, but it fluctuates based on supply and demand. Gas is sold on a competitive market. And, you know, there are multiple sources of combustion fuels, including ethanol, hydrogen, and even natural gas. So gasoline is not a monopoly. Essentially, it's a worldwide commodity. But the price of electricity is fixed by local utilities. When you charge at a public charging station, you must pay utility rates no matter what. Basically, utilities have a monopoly on selling electricity. So EV charging rates will always be high when power is supplied by investor-owned utilities, IOUs, like PG&E, because they're monopolies. They can charge whatever they want. Now, the only exception is if you charge your vehicle at home or at work from a rooftop solar system. Now, there's a lot to unpack regarding coming up with making a profitable EV charging business, especially fast chargers that we need. But first, here's some background on EV charging systems and requirements. Then we'll dig into the hosting economics for fast DC chargers. Here's where the numbers really start to make sense. All right, just in general, typical EV mileage is about 3 miles per kilowatt hour. Smaller cars can get more mileage, you know, bigger things, you know, like a Hummer, they're gonna get much fewer miles per kilowatt hour. So let's just kind of look at how much it takes to charge 50 kilowatts of charging. And that's basically gonna be good for about 150 miles on most vehicles. So there's three levels of EV charging, level one, level two, and level three. There's also level four, but that's kind of a detail. Level one is basically when you plug your EV into an ordinary 120-volt circuit. It's going to charge at 12 or 15 amps, and it's going to take about 28 hours to add 50 kilowatt hours of charge, which is going to get you 150 miles. Now, the faster way is with a level 2 charger, and that plugs into a dedicated 240-volt circuit, twice the voltage and much more current. So you can charge that 50 kilowatt hours in about 7 hours. That level 2 charger is great for homes and parking lots where you have cars parked for several hours. We have them at our office here. People can get here in the morning, they can plug in their vehicle, and by lunchtime, it's pretty much fully charged up. They've added 10, 20, 30 kilowatt hours. Now, when you're traveling on a highway, going from place to place, you're going to go more than 150 miles, 200 miles, you're going to need what's called a level 3 fast charger. Now, these chargers are connected to a dedicated 400-volt DC circuit, much, much faster. The DC goes into the car, directly into the battery, more efficient. So with these fast chargers, it can take 30 minutes or less to add 50 kilowatt hours of charge. There are some chargers that can probably do that 50 kilowatt hours in 15 minutes. So it's really good for fast roadside charging. You know, it might take 10 minutes to fill up a tank of gas. It may take half an hour to fill up your EV. So it's comparable to gas stations, but still, it's a little bit slower, but it's manageable. So you see a lot of these fast DC chargers sited at roadside restaurants and coffee shops and places like that, where people are going to wait for an hour or so, get something to eat, and fully charge up. Now, kind of looking at where this is all going, rooftop solar is perfectly fine for home and commercial charging. These are situations where you'll use either a slow level one charger, or more commonly, commercially, you're going to use a level two charger. Now, let's look at how much energy a typical car needs to drive, let's say, for a month. It's about, let's say you drive your car 12,000 miles a year, 1,000 miles a month. That's going to take, in California, about 2,700 watts of rooftop solar panels. It's about 7 solar panels needed on your house or at a commercial building to basically top off your car for the average daily charging for a month. It's all the electricity you'll ever need for driving. And we kind of do this analysis for our customers. We'll find out what kind of EV they have. We'll find out what they're shading and how many panels that we need. But it's usually somewhere between 6 and 8 panels. If you drive a lot, maybe you'll need more. But that's enough to charge up your vehicle. It's basically your gas station is a bunch of solar panels. Now, when we look at level 3 fast charging station requirements. You know, people say, hey, these fast chargers, why don't we just put solar panels on the canopies and the roofs of gas stations and we can charge up our cars there. Well, let's look at the math here. Typical fast charging stations have a utilization of about 7 cars per day per port. I think on the average, you have 4 ports, you know, 4 of those big boxes, 4 of those plugs, and that's a station, 4 ports. So if you kind of multiply that out, they're going to handle 28 cars a day. And that's going to add up to 1,400 kilowatt hours a day needed at that station. To get that in a day, that's going to be 850 solar panels. It's about half an acre. Plus the batteries that you may need if you want to keep that charging station working at night. So essentially, it's space and cost prohibitive to power these fast charging stations by solar at each fast charging site. You just can't do it. So the solar panels have to be somewhere else. Those fast chargers have to be connected directly to the grid with a high power connection. And the cost for this utility connection, you know, you got to run wires underground through pavement to the charging stations. The costs are very high. The charges from the utility are very high for this power. And there's really complicated permitting. I mean, it could take a year or two for the permitting and the construction to install these fast charging stations. So they don't kind of pop up quickly like mushrooms after a summer thunderstorm. It takes time. You know, these are issues that are constraining the growth. If people are buying more EVs and these charging stations are showing up, then there's going to be a lot of disappointed people with EVs saying, hey, I don't want to wait an hour or two every time I want to charge up my car when I'm on a highway going 300 miles. So it's a problem. So, and recent studies have illustrated these challenging economics of the fast DC charging business. It took me a while. I was like kind of scratching my head. It's like, why aren't more of these things being built? And why are all these charging companies selling chargers, but how come nobody's putting them in? The bottom line is for these fast charging DC businesses, a company that says, hey, I want to put in some fast chargers and make some money off of charging cars. The bottom line is there is no bottom line. In California, without subsidies, companies hosting fast chargers lose 16% before interest and tax. That's earnings before interest and tax. Accountants call that EBIT. And let's dig into the economics. And I kind of looked all over and finally I've hit an article that explained how bad a business it really is and things that can be done to make it into a good business. Now, the article that I read was summarized by McKinsey & Company in an October 2023 article. You can look this up. Can public EV fast charging stations be profitable in the United States? I had great accountants and finance people over at McKinsey. They did a good analysis. So I'm just going to whip through this, summarize it pretty quickly. But you can see yourself what the numbers are. So in this example, they're looking at charging station revenues. And a charging station is basically 4 charging ports in one station. They can generate revenue of $275,000 per year if they sell the electricity at about 45 cents a kilowatt hour. Last time I went to a fast charging station at a 7-Eleven up in Sacramento, it was 46 cents. So that's kind of in the ballpark. That was the price last year. Electric rates have gone up since then. So those are the revenues. Now let's take a look at what the costs offsetting those revenues. The electricity costs in California, PG&E territory, on an A10 rate in 2023, the energy costs, that was $125,000 per year at 20 cents a kilowatt hour. That's the energy cost, measures in kilowatt hours. But in many places, there's also a demand charge. And the demand charge is calculated based on the peak amount of kilowatts you draw at any given time. So if all four chargers are running at full speed, that's kind of what your peak is, and they're going to hit you that peak for every month. So the electricity demand costs are $85,000 a year at $20 a kilowatt. I haven't done the math on exactly how many kilowatts they were drawing, but that's basically the combination of energy costs in kilowatt hours plus demand costs in kilowatts. It looks like about $210,000. Now, in addition, these things require maintenance. And I don't have to explain it to anybody that's ever been to a bunch of EV chargers and says, you know, this one's out, this one's out. You know, they finally find two that are working. It's maddening. You think you're going to charge up your car. You get there and you find out that the one station's working, is parked, and the guy's in the store, and you got to wait. Basically, you got to go somewhere else. So there's operating costs. And that's maintenance mostly. So the maintenance per station, $25,000 a year. And you can see how many of these stations are just skipping that maintenance because their chargers aren't working. Now, in addition, somebody's got to pay for the equipment. So the capital expense for the equipment in this example, $380,000, and it's $95,000 or so per port. And then you have to calculate what the depreciation, the amortization on that, that's what they do down here. So basically, when you look into the depreciation and the amortization for the capital expense, the operating costs, the electricity costs, net that off the revenue, the net loss before interest and tax, this is how much money each of these stations loses, is $45,000 a year, or 16%. They're losing 16%. Companies hosting fast charging stations in this example in California are losing 16% every year. Not a real good business. So what does this mean in retail terms? Well, a lot of these stations have been showing up at retailers, at banks, at restaurants, at 7-Elevens, where the hosting company can make up for the loss by selling more stuff. So let's look at how many cups of coffee a Starbucks has to sell to make up for this $45,000 net loss from hosting four fast EV charging ports, one station. I just look at Starbucks' 2023 earnings before interest and tax. It was $5.8 billion on $36 billion of revenue, or 16%. So they make a 16% earning before interest and tax on everything they sell. Now, if a cup of coffee cost $5, the earnings before interest and tax is 80 cents a cup. So they make 80 cents of profit per cup. I kind of divided that into their total profit. And that means that for each one of these stations, they have to sell 56,000 more cups of coffee per site to pay for those four EV chargers at each station to cover that $45,000 loss. So it's a lot of Joe. Now let's see where we are in terms of fast charging stations in the U.S. So the National Renewable Energy Lab, which we happily call NREL in the solar and the storage business, by 2040, they estimated that there's going to be 33 million EVs on the road. And in order to kind of keep everybody convenient, you know, gas stations on highways and things like that, we're going to need 1.2 million fast charging ports. Now, at an estimated cost of, they kind of added this up based on the average cost of these fast charging points, $31 to $55 billion for all these fast chargers. That's a lot of subsidy money to make these charging locations profitable, because if you offset that cost, they can be profitable. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, that's on top of the 28 million home chargers that are going to be needed by 2030. And you see, there's a lot of money in the Inflation Reduction Act. There's a lot of other money by states. But yeah, we're going to need $31 to $55 billion to get all these chargers in place by, you know, heck, 15 years. So let's look at how we can make these fast EV charging stations profitable. If these stations are profitable, then somebody's going to put them in. If they're going to continue to lose $45,000 at every single one, there's not a lot of Starbucks businesses that are going to, you know, be able to sell 56,000 more cups of coffee or however many pizzas or Slim Jims. It's not going to work. So we have to find a way to make these EV charging stations profitable. Now, there are three ways to make this fast charging business more profitable. One way is to provide big subsidies on the order of $304,000 per station. A station has four ports. That's one way, just to offset the cost. The second way is to increase the utilization rate of the chargers. And the third way is to reduce the cost charged by utilities for the electricity. Now, there's a fourth way that they suggested, but I don't think it's going to work, which is considering raising the charging price to customers. So instead of charging them 45 cents a kilowatt hour, charge them 55 cents a kilowatt hour. You can't keep doing that, because then people are going to say, why am I going to get an electric vehicle? I'd rather get cheap gas. So let's dig into these ways of making EV charging more profitable. Providing incentives for charging stations. In the McKinsey analysis, if 80% of the upfront cost of building the charging station is subsidized, or as I mentioned, the $304,000 per station for four fast EV chargers, that's going to improve the profitability to $27,500 or 10%. So you go from losing 16% to making 10%. It's a profitable business. Starbucks, if they still sold their 56,000 cups of coffee, they'd still make a 10% profit. That's great. So Starbucks doesn't really have to sell more coffee. They can automatically be profitable even if they only sell 5,000 cups of coffee. And that applies to any site that's installing these chargers. So they can basically go in, and since the capital cost is paid up front, still have to pay the maintenance, still have to buy the electricity, but they can be profitable if somebody pays for most of the capital cost. Now, the second way of doing it is to increase the utilization rate of the chargers from 15 to 20%. Now, the utilization rate kind of determines how often the chargers are being used. Now, that's going to be tough to really increase because right now, according to this study, the current utilization rate is about 7.5% across the U.S. That means when you get to a charging station, they're only being used 7.5% during the day. I'm not sure whether it's day and night, but just during the day. That's going to mean there's a lot of empty chargers right now. But if you want to see that if they're used more commonly, if the utilization rate is 20%, that means that there's going to be lines. That means that, you know, during the heavy commute times, that means during lunch, when people are driving long distances, they're going to have to wait longer for that charger. And, you know, those delays, I think, are going to be problematic. People are not going to be happy if they have to wait an hour just to find an empty charging space. This is one of the beauty things about the current Tesla charging network is not everybody's using it. Well, you know, better watch out because Ford and a lot of other manufacturers are now going to be able to use that network. And Tesla's no longer going to have a strategic advantage there. But, you know, Tesla decided it's not a great business. So it's a benefit when there's lots of chargers and there's no lines. I mean, just imagine if you went to a gas station. Let's turn the clock back to 1973. Go to a gas station and there's a line around the corner for gas. You're going to be pissed off. If you have to wait a long time to charge your car, you're not going to be able to drive that EV. Third way to do it is to reduce the electric costs at charging stations. Basically saying to the utility, hey, you're not going to charge us a ton of money for this. You've got to give a significantly discounted cost if you want to have a monopoly on selling electricity. But utilities already have that monopoly. They don't want to give it up. And here's the thing. You look at the laws in states. Most states, including California, strictly prohibit any entity, any company other than the local utility to sell electricity. That's why if you had excess solar on your roof in your house and you put a charging station in your house, if you have somebody come in and plug into that and you charge them, that's against the law. It's amazing. You can't even send that electricity across over a fence to your neighbor's house. You can't do that. It has to stay in the same parcel. So EV charging stations in most states are legally required to purchase their electricity from the local utility, and the utilities can charge whatever they want. Even though the utilities are supposedly regulated by Public Utility Commission's PUCs, California, we fondly refer to them as the CPUC, these Public Utility Commissions are basically controlled by utility interests. No doubt about it, California's Public Utility Commission does what the utilities and their unions want them to do. And the way they do that is the IOUs, the investor-owned utilities, they game the system by lobbying state governments. That's exactly what happened in California. The utilities and their unions gave a ton of money to all the politicians, and therefore they get exactly what they want as far as charging for electricity and restricting the installation of solar and storage. So bottom line, they get, hey, look at this in California. They're charging ridiculously high amounts for electricity, and they generate record profits. And this is what's scary. These record profits are going to be even higher as utilities control the filling stations of the future. Imagine that. You think gas prices are high. You know, something happens in the Middle East, gas prices go up, we pump more oil, gas prices go down. But once it's controlled by utilities and the only ones that are allowed to provide that power, it's going to be even worse. So that's what I worry about. But there's another alternative for EV charging. It's a little bit more complicated. You just don't plug into the grid. But one way this can be avoided is by using level two chargers for daytime charging where the cars are parked during the day. There's an abundance of sunlight during the day, lots of solar power during the day. There's so much solar power, in fact, that in sometimes in California, the price of electricity on the grid is actually negative. Utility farms are generating too much power during the day. They're wasting it. So if that power is generated locally where cars are parked, that power is going to almost be free, can charge the vehicles. And that requires these chargers to get power from rooftop solar or parking lot solar. For example, at your company, we're putting solar on the roof of our building here in California. We have EV chargers. Employees can plug in. They can get the power. But this can be done at schools, at other companies, at malls, at public buildings. You can build these big covered parking structures. And that power can be used to top off the batteries of everybody's car who parks there during the day. Even if they only park for 3 or 4 hours, they can pretty much get that car fully charged. So, and I kind of ran through the numbers, and we talked about this before. In order to top off the battery every day, it's going to only require about 7 solar panels installed per car at daytime locations. And what I call ubiquitous level 2 chargers. So everywhere where there's rooftop solar, you have some level 2 chargers. Charge whatever you want. If it's kept on that same site and if you're not connecting to the grid, you can make that power free. You can make that power 25 cents a kilowatt hour. Doesn't matter. And these level 2 chargers, unlike level 3 chargers, which are close to $100,000, a level 2 chargers, maybe $600 or $700 plus a few thousand dollars for installation. Call it $3,000. They're much cheaper and faster to deploy. So, you know, in addition, with this model, EV owners would have the additional benefit because they're always going to have their car kind of, you know, you go home from work and maybe you drive 20, 30 miles, your car is going to be pretty much fully charged. You can use that car battery to power your house at night, and you can use that car battery for backup power. But remember, this solar EV charging method only works for local charging when you're getting the power from a rooftop solar array, from a home, business, company, government solar arrays. These distributed generation arrays are not owned by the utilities. Therefore, they can produce very inexpensive power. It's really cheap. And as long as that power is consumed on site by cars soaking up that power like a sponge, you could save a lot of money. The concept does not work. This EV charging at work, at schools, at businesses, at malls, it doesn't work when you're buying power from the utility, from large-scale solar systems in remote areas. Yeah, you know, here in California, we have terrific large-scale solar arrays in the desert, Northern California, all over. But they're connected to the utility grid, and that means that the power is very expensive. These long-distance transmission systems are tremendously expensive. That's what's driven electricity costs sky high in California. And yeah, we're not going to be able to charge effectively. You're basically going to be looking at the standard ridiculously high utility electric rates because they're providing the power from their own solar array, from their own long-distance transmission lines, which cost a fortune. All right, so just kind of wrapping up, replacing gas vehicles with EVs requires large-scale EV charging network investments. Elon Musk made the right decision to slow down the supercharged deployments and Tesla's investments. Even though we've standardized on their standard, it doesn't make sense for Tesla to build this network on their own. Huge subsidies are needed. So that's one. And second, the utility monopoly over EV charging must be changed. We can't continue to pay those ridiculous utility rates for driving. It's going to be more than gas ultimately. We have no control. It's a monopoly. In the meantime, here's what you can do. You can install solar on your home. You can install solar on your company. You can encourage your schools and municipal buildings to install solar on their rooftops. And at the same time, put in level 2 charging stations that are going to connect to those systems. And then you can get that much less expensive power without having to pay through the nose from your utility. Okay, that's all the time we have on this week's Energy Show. Thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. And if you missed any of today's show, you can go to the Energy Show website at energyshow.biz and listen to the podcasts.